Christmas can be a time of buildup with a possibility of letdown. So can a vacation or a conference or any special event that we look forward to. There can be that sense of it's coming, and then it's there. And then the next day, you know, the 26th, the presents are all open, the food has been eaten, the songs have been sung, maybe too many presents and too much food, and we just kind of feel empty. There's a sense of, huh, this thing happened, now it's over, and now what? I was reflecting about that with Christmas, and then this reminder from Hebrews of the insufficiency, the incompleteness, the not yet fully fulfilledness of the old sacramental system. Imagine what that would be like. I mean, you had to think ahead, plan, maybe raise enough funds or actually have the lamb yourself and make preparation to travel to Jerusalem to make the sacrifice. Do you leave the family with you this year, you know, with other family, or do you go by, take all of them like you did 2 years ago? Will they, right? I mean, it's just, there's so many different things that you'd have to think through. And then you go and you make the sacrifice and you pay too much to stay in somebody's house and you do all the things and the sacrifice is done. And I can see where that would be a nice feeling of, I've done what the Lord has required. I have fulfilled the law and I'm right with the Lord. My sins have been atoned. But wouldn't there also be a burden that now we got to make it all the way home? And you got to reintegrate with the family and re-engage with your business and all the normal day-to-day life things. But you don't get to make another sacrifice until next year. Would that be a pressure? You know, that first time whenever, you know, the colleague does that thing that that colleague does, or your spouse does that thing that that spouse does. And you kind of, you know, the sacrifice is sufficient. But it's not complete. Those sacrifices were leading to something greater. And that something greater, we know now, is Christ. Christ is the perfect sacrifice. And many, many sermons could be preached. Books have been written on the many, many ways that Christ's sacrifice is more perfect and more complete than the old sacrifices of blood of animals. One of the ways that that sacrifice is complete is that it is continual. It is completed. Christ died once for all of our sins. He came once and finished what it was that he came to do. So that, this is the main first point. As we look for Christmas, this is not just an empty holiday. It's not just even a happy kind of high point that we then have to wait for again. It's a reminder of the one perfect Son of God, the greatest man that ever lived, that came and showed us an example of what it is to listen to the Father and to do what the Father had given him to do, all the way through a suffering life, a healing life, a self-sacrificial giving life, as he poured himself out to his disciples, to those that followed him, and ultimately poured himself out for all of us, for peoples from every tribe and tongue and nation. That sacrifice is complete. So do we need a reminder? Do we need to have special days where we think of that humble beginning whenever Christ came? We do. But it's different. It's perfected because we're no longer just being reminded, as in the old sacrificial system, of our sins, reminded of our sins. Now, I don't want to make the sacrificial system sound like it was something that was purely made up by people. It was not. It was God's system given to people. And we know from other places in Hebrews that system was good in as much as the people exercised it in faith and hope. So as they made those sacrifices, even they, Was it really the blood of the lambs that was atoning for sin? It was their faith in God that he would provide a merciful, merciful response to them. So in faith, those sacrifices that were offered was God's way for them. But it was always looking forward to something greater, to the great, perfect sacrifice of Christ. And we now have access to that perfect sacrifice. And we don't have to wait for an annual event. We don't have to wait for a weekly event or for a special time during the day. We now are the people that God has filled with his Holy Spirit so that this is really special. And it's something that we get to come together and we recognize the body and blood of Christ. But this is not the only way. This is one way that God ministers to us. But we as people, as God's people, can come to him any moment of any day and say, Lord Jesus, the one perfect, eternal, complete, perfected sacrifice, you came that I could come and be right with the Father. Because what the law could not accomplish because of the sinful flesh, God has done by sending his only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, so that those of us who are in the Spirit can live in fullness of life, can have a fullness of life that comes only from God. We can do the things that he has set in front of us to do. So the old sacrifice was a reminder of sin. The old sacrifice was offered in faith and in hope. The old sacrifice, though it reminded us of our sin, it was not as complete as the final sacrifice of Christ that shows us not only the sin, but shows us new life that is given to us by Christ. Yes, sin is a battle, and it is won by excelling still more into the life given by Christ. As we look to him, the author and perfecter of our faith, he intercedes for us as the great high priest. We're told later in Hebrews that, later in chapter 10, that Christ even sits down because his work is complete. He has made the perfect sacrifice. He doesn't, like the old priest, have to make the sacrifice over and over and over and over. He did it once, and it's finished. We are reminded in his perfecting, his life, his goodness, his mercy, and we are charged to live likewise in the broken world. We are more than overcomers through Christ Jesus. His sacrifice becomes the model of our lives. Sin is defeated, and sin must be guarded against. Yet overcoming sin is a means to a greater goal given us as followers of Jesus Christ. We do not exist only for victory over sin. That is a victory that you could almost say gets us back to zero. That's not what we live for. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another in love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day draw near. We exist to go into the world as changed beings, sin having no hold on us. We are in the Spirit. We are free to live sacrificially in the world. We are born again that we can live in the world, suffering as he suffered, listening to the Father and doing only what he says. That is, acting in the world as Christ acted. We are holy, set apart for this purpose. We are a royal priesthood, a holy people for God's own possession. We are pleasing sacrifices being poured out into the world. First Peter puts it this way. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness, out of that sin, into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So we are living sacrifices. Sacrifice, but not on our own behalf. It's not like our works of service and our acts in the world, our serving other people, is somehow like those bulls and goats and lambs and birds that were sacrificed. This is not atoning for anything, our pouring out of our lives to our neighbors. It's a response to the one complete, full, and perfect sacrifice that was offered. It's because of that sacrifice that we're allowed to be a sacrifice, pouring our lives out instead of dirty, nasty rags. That's what our righteousness is outside of Christ and his perfect sacrifice. We are living sacrifices resulting from the one complete and ultimate sacrifice of Christ. We are freed of sin so that we can proclaim Christ, having witness to our freedom, so that more can come into his family. Our sacrifice of praise is the coming of his kingdom in each of our lives, in our vocations, in our families. We are poured out that more may come within his saving embrace, says that beautiful colleague. Our sacrifice is not for sin's sake only, but for life's sake. Romans 12 puts it this way. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It is for freedom that we have been set free. So go, therefore, make disciples. Tell them who Jesus is. Show them how he lived. Be free. Be righteous. Share with your neighbors. Serve those around you. Send and support others to go to the far reaches of your county and of your country, even to the geographic and cultural and political ends of the earth. Do you see this perfection of Jesus's sacrifice, this humble baby that came to give peace on earth and goodwill to men? He came as the perfect sacrifice. This Christmas, we are not merely reminded of our sin as in the days of animal sacrifices. We are reminded that the King has come to give life and peace. Again, Romans 8 says that to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. He has come to give us life and peace. We are made part of his kingdom to spread his goodness and love in how we speak and how we live and how we think. He is active in the world through his Holy Spirit embodied people, through us, his church. And he will come again to rule in complete power. So this year, as Christmas comes to a head, as we give and receive gifts, as we eat the special meals and sing the special songs, remember that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and he came to do it all the way. There are many opportunities this season to be let down from the holiday. But there need not be any letdown at all from our recognizing and rejoicing in the goodness of God in our lives. So much more than any annual reminder of our sin, we have a daily, hourly, moment-to-moment indwelling of the Holy Spirit who is shaping us and making us into the body of Christ on earth, the church. And with this again from Luke. The angel said to them, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You will find him, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Amen.